Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Nun. We should point out that we provided an introduction for today's shiur at the end of our previous shiur, because the topic is really a continuation of that which we were doing on Daf Mem Tes. So, if you are, however, a first-time listener, or didn't hear our previous shiur, we will point out that on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, a question was raised concerning a Kohen Gadol that slaughtered his par offering, his cow offering, and he received the blood, and then he, the Kohen Gadol, died. Can the replacement Kohen Gadol use that blood from the previous Kohen Gadol who just died? Can they use his cow blood, or must he slaughter his own new cow offering? So the possibility was raised that the replacement Kohen Gadol, the successor replacement Kohen Gadol, can use the previous Kohen Gadol's cow's blood. The Gemara today introduces a question or a challenge to that very question. Namely, how can you raise that even as a possibility? There is a well-known rule concerning sin offerings, and the par of the Kohen Gadol cow offering, is an example of a sin offering. And one of the rules says that a sin offering whose owner died, in this case the Kohen Gadol is the assumed owner of it, and he died, the sacrifice, the korban, is rendered unfit. Even if the korban is still alive, but the owner of it died after he dedicated it as a sacrifice, that animal is set off to die on its own, so that it becomes rendered invalid. And certainly the blood that remains from that cow that is hasn't been sprinkled yet on the altar, or hasn't, in this case, hasn't been sprinkled in the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash, it certainly would be rendered unfit by virtue of the fact that it falls under the rule of Chatos Shemesu Baleo. So why on Daf Mem Testament base was the question even raised about, or the question raised with the possibility of the successor Kohen Gadol using the blood of the now deceased previous Kohen Gadol's cow offering? On the side of our Gemara today, on Daf Nun, we have an Oseya topic heading, Hagdoras Par Kohen Gadol. We're going to try to categorize the cow offering. Chatas Tzibor, Chatas Yochid, Chatas Shufim. Is it a public sacrifice? And if it's a public sacrifice, so then the rule we stated just before wouldn't apply. The idea of the owner dying is a possibility only if it's an identifiable single owner. If it's the public, so the concept of dying on the part of the owner, if the ownership is a publicly owned korban, so that concept doesn't apply. A chatas yochid is a privately owned sacrifice, so it might be that we, in order to deal with this topic and raise this objection, the assumption would have to be made that the par Kohen Gadol, that the cow offering of the Kohen Gadol, is in fact a private offering. A third possibility is that it's a chatas hashutfin. It's a jointly partnership-owned korban. Who is partnering in it? The Kohen Gadol and his fellow Kohanim, because they do attain atonement through its slaughter and subsequent offering. So we have three categories of chatos that will figure in our discussion. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a house marking that appears in alternating directions. So under the Mivneh heading, you'll see that when the house is pointing upwards, the point, the roof of the house is upwards, Hagdoroso of the Par Kohen Gadol Kishel Yochid, as a Chatas Yochid. And when it's flipped over, Eino Nechshav Kishel Yochid. It's not considered a privately owned sin offering. There are various halachas that apply to a privately owned sin offering as opposed to a non-privately owned sacrifice. We'll be exposed to a number of those halachas as we go through the Gemara. So now, as we said, we're starting from the 11th line from the top, the first house marking pointing upwards. The tapuk lay, and Rashi immediately, with his structural sensitivity, points out, if we read the Rashi, v'tepuklei ba'ayon deboinon li'el, the question that was raised earlier. And with Gemara markings, you have the luxury of noticing that there's a bracketed section that appears right before the v'tepuklei in the Gemara text. Now, use your bracket length indicator and work backwards, and notice what appeared just before the bracketed section. That means you're going to be taken back to Daf Mem Tes Omid Beis, and you'll notice there the Gemara triangled question was Shochat Umeis Mahu Shikones Acher Bedomo. A Kohen Gadol prepared his cow offering by slaughtering it, receiving the blood, and then before doing the sprinkling, he died. Can the replacement Kohen Gadol, the successor Kohen Gadol, use that blood for the Yom Kippur service? Here, the Gemara says, and we were reading the Rashi, Rashi said that regarding that question, there's no question. The Al Korchin Ein Acher Nichnas B'Shchitoso. It's obvious, says Rashi, based on the Gemara we haven't read yet, but it's obvious that there is no question, namely that the successor Kohen Gadol cannot use that blood. This is an example of a sin offering whose owner, the previous Kohen Gadol, just died. So the Gemara, and we're now looking in the Gemara text, the Tepuk lay. Why not learn out or conclude that there's no question to begin with? Namely, the question that was raised on Mem Tes Omid Beis, why is there no question? This is an example of a sin offering, the cow of the Kohen Gadol, whose owner, the Kohen Gadol, just died. And a sin offering whose owner dies, the animal, the sacrifice itself, goes off to be to its death, namely, it's unfit. Omar le Ravin bar Rav Ado le Rava. So Ravin turns to Rava and says, Amri Talmidecha, Omar Rav Amram, your students quote Rav Amram as saying, Chatos Tzibur Hi, the power of the Kohen Gadol is a public sin offering. Below Lamisa Azla, and as a result, it is not something that goes to its death. In other words, it's not rendered unfit. It's not rendered unfit by the fact that the supposed owner died, because it's in truth a publicly owned sacrifice. Take note of the fact, by the way, that this is a long answer that we have to go through. And we continue in the Gemara. Disnan Omar Lo Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir, this is a quote from Maseches Tumura, so it's a part of a discussion that we're seeing only a fragment of it. Rebbe Meir says to him, V'halo par Yom HaKippurim V'chavite Kohen Gadol U'Pesach the korban yochid hu, the doiches haShabbos is a tuma. The Rabbi Meir is responding to an opinion that that claimed that if a sacrifice is a privately owned sacrifice, that only, in other words, he's reacting to a to an opinion that says only publicly owned sacrifices can supersede Shabbos. Rabbi Meir points out, well, you've got the Par Yom HaKippurim, which we dashed underline, that's our focus right now, that's the Kohen Gadol's cow offering. You have other sacrifices, which we're not going to explain right now, but you have Chavite Kohen Gadol, you have a Korban Pesach, these are privately owned, and they, Dochas HaShabbos HaTumah, they supersede the laws of Shabbos and the laws of impurity. So now, Rabbi Meir is claiming, well, here you have an example of the Par of Yom Kippur, which is a Korban Yochid. So, he is responding, though, to somebody. So we can infer, Lav Michlal, is it not then for us to infer, De'iko Laman De'omar De'tzibur, that there is someone who would say, contrary to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir is responding to someone. So, he to whom Rabbi Meir is responding would not hold like Rabbi Meir, and would rather classify the Par Yom HaKippurim, which certainly supersedes Shabbos, it's processed on Shabbos, if Yom Kippur coincides with Shabbos, it's processed. So he must be of the opinion that is a publicly owned sacrifice. So Ravin responds to the initial Tepuklei question by saying there is room for asking about the replacement Kohen Gadol carrying in the blood of the previous Kohen Gadol's cow offering, because it, in this particular viewpoint, is a public offering. The Gemara then challenges what we just said. In other words, we took this framed source, which is a quote from Maseches Tumura, and Rabbi Meir, and then inferred from the way Rabbi Meir was speaking that there is someone else who would say otherwise, who, when looking at the Par Yom HaKippur, would say it is a public sacrifice. Well, taking using that kind of logic, now notice we have a long rejection. Notice the length of this marking. This long rejection is then going to show that the reasoning we just had, this inference type reasoning that there must be someone else who will hold otherwise, is weak or is failed reasoning. If that happens, then structurally, and this is where you should know how to use your markings, here you have the house marking with the point facing up. It basically reintroduces the opening claim that you're not dealing with a chatas tzibur, you're not dealing with a public publicly owned sin offering. So let's see how he rejects the reasoning. V'litamech, according to you, that we're using this inference type logic, which we dashed underline with the michlal de'iko ma'al de'omar, let's see how that continues. So the Tamech Tikotoni, it says in Maseches Tmura, Omar lo Rabbi Yankiv. Rabbi Yankiv is now addressing someone, and he says, Valo par helam dover shel tzibur, usirei avodes kechovim, v'chagiga. We have a list of different sacrifices here. The par helam dover shel tzibur is a special offering brought when the Sanhedrin erred in their legal rulings. And there are other sacrifices mentioned here. There are goat offerings in the case of idolatry. There is Chagiga, the Korban Sibor. These are publicly owned sacrifices. V'ein doichin loy es haShabbos v'lo es haTumah. Even though they are publicly owned sacrifices, they're public type sacrifices, they don't supersede Shabbos nor the laws of Tumah. So now, the fact that Rabbi Yankiv argued this way, Can you now infer Michlal Deiko Leman De Omar De Yochid? Could you possibly infer that there is someone that would classify these sacrifices as a privately owned sacrifice? Take, for example, the Par Helom Dover Shel Zippor. That's a sacrifice that's brought by the high court on behalf of an erred legal ruling. It's not a private sacrifice. In fact, its name implies it has in its name Par Helom Dover Shel Zippor. It's a publicly it's a public type sacrifice, because in that case the Sanhedrin issued a ruling and then people sinned based on their erroneous ruling. So you can't take this source here where you see where Biankiv arguing his point and then inferring from the way he speaks, he addresses someone else, and then say that, well, that someone else will say to the contrary, that it's a privately owned sacrifice. You see that wouldn't make any sense over here. So just like that wouldn't make any sense here, the Gemara is arguing that in the previous framed section where Rabbi Meir was addressing someone, and in his argument he made mention of the Par Yom Kippurim as being a privately owned sacrifice, there isn't proof then that someone else will hold that it's a publicly owned sacrifice. So that would then knock out that which Ravin bar Rav Ado was trying to argue. Ella, so what is going on in these sources where we double underline Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yankiv? Ella Litana Kamo Ko Mahadele. Rav Yankiv is responding to a first opinion. The Shamai, Rav Yankiv heard the Ko'omar, that the previous Tana, the preceding Tana in his source had said, and we don't have the text over here, but we only are brought into the middle where Rav Yankiv is responding. So he's responding to someone that had said the following. That had said the following rule. Korban Sibor Deuches Hashav Satuma, a public sacrifice will overrule or supersede the laws of Shabbos and the laws of Tumah. The Korban Yochid, Eino Deuche, Lo Yasa Shabbos, V'lo Yasa Tumah. Very simple, streamlined type rule. Public supersedes, private does not. Now, regarding that, you have Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yankiv responding, each one to a different aspect of what the Tana Kamma had said. Amar lo Rebbe Meir. Now, what we're doing here is what Rebbe Meir was doing in the source where his name had been double underlined above. Rebbe Meir is responding. Korban Yochid Klola, who? What you said about a privately owned sacrifice that never supersedes Shabbos nor Tumah, is that a solid rule? Klola means a rule. Is that a rule that it doesn't supersede Shabbos? Valo, Par Yom HaKippurim. And here we dashed underline. This is, again, the focus of our sugya today. The Par Yom HaKippurim, V'chavite Kohen Gadol U'Pesach, the Korban Yochid Hu, and again we dashed on a Korban Yochid, because we wanted you to connect Par Yom HaKippurim as being classified as a Korban Yochid according to everybody so far. V'doichin Es HaShabbos V'Es HaTuma. That's a challenge to Rabbi Meir's Tana Kamma. V'Omar Lo Rabbi Yankiv, and Rabbi Yankiv addressed the Tana Kamma regarding the Korban Sibor rule. Korban Sibor Klola Hu. What you, Tana Kamma, said regarding a publicly owned sacrifice, is this a solid rule that it will always supersede Shabbos? Valo Par Helom Dover Shel Zippor Usir Avodes Gechovim V'Chagiga. These are three examples of a Korban Sibor. The Korban Sibor Hu V'Ein Doichin Lo Es HaShabbos V'Lo Es HaTuma. And they don't supersede Shabbos nor the rules of Tumah, even though they are publicly owned or publicly brought sacrifices. Ella, nekot hai klola biyodach. Rather, take the following rule in your hands, meaning follow this rule. Kol shizmano kavua. Any sacrifice who has a fixed calendar date for being brought. It's a calendar, it's a date-related sacrifice. That kind of sacrifice Doche es a Shabbos es a Tumah afilu biyachid. That will be brought on Shabbos. It will supersede Shabbos. It will supersede Tumah, even if it's a privately owned sacrifice. And again, we dashed underline this afilu biyachid, and above it we wrote kolel par kohen gadol, including the kohen gadol's cow offering. So what are we seeing again and again? We're seeing that par kohen gadol is a private offering. It's a chatas yochid. And as a chatas yochid, how in the world could a successor kohen gadol think to use its blood? And that's what is bothering us right now. We continue in the Gemara, v'chol she'ein zmano kavua. The second part of the rule is anything that's not calendar-based or date-based for its being offered. Such a sacrifice will not supersede Shabbos nor the rules of Tumah, even if it happens to be publicly owned or publicly brought sacrifice. So far, we're in the position where the original question of Shochat Umeis, the question on back on Daf Mem Tesomet Beis, how is there room for even asking that question? Is it not a case of a privately owned sin offering, the Par Kohen Gadol, privately owned, and that's what we've seen in the last section of Gemara, and we have a rule, Chatas Shemesu Baleo is Lamisa Oslo, it's rendered unfit. How then could you even think that the successor Kohen Gadol would use its blood? Esve. Now, because the house marking is with the point facing down, and you can relate to the comment on the side under the Mivneh, so this will be an attempt to show that really it's not a private sin offering. Esve Abaye. Par Visoyo Shel Yom HaKippurim. We've dashed underlined the key words par and the word Shel Yom HaKippurim. We're making an assumption right now that Shel Yom HaKippurim, the phrase saying of Yom Kippur, is connected not only to the goat offering, but it's also connected to the cow offering mentioned here. If you work with that assumption, so we're describing the cow offering of the Kohen Gadol brought on Yom Kippur, She Avdu, they got lost, Ve'ifrish Achirim Tachtehem, and others were set aside to replace them. And then they were, the original ones were found. Kulam Yomusu, they are set aside to die. V'chein Sirei Avodes Kechavim She'avdu, V'hifri Shachirim Tachtehem, Kulam Yomusu. Same law will apply to goat offerings brought in the case of idolatry. They got lost. Others were set aside to serve as their replacement. And then you found the original one, so they are set aside to die. Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Oimrim, Yiruat Shistavu, V'yimochru, V'yiplu, Demem L'Nedava. They say, no, that these sacrifices are set out to graze until they develop a blemish. Yistavu means a blemish. Then they can be redeemed and sold, and the monies received in return, then they're used to bring voluntary sacrifices for the altar. She'ein chatas tzibur mesa. Now we dashed under the chatas tzibur mesa because we want you to connect here that which we dash on. That in this source we see the par of Yom Kippur being described as a chatas tzibur, a publicly owned korban chatas, publicly owned sin offering. And because it's publicly owned, so there still is room to speak about the original question from Daf Mem Tes, where the Kohen Gadol died and the successor Kohen Gadol using its blood, because it's not a private sacrifice. Omar Lay. So now the Gemara responds to Abaye and says, my par, the par in the source we just had, and we have a little star to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, you can align it with the previous star. You see there, par was mentioned on that line. You know what par is? Par helam dover shel tzibor. It's the cow brought when the high court erred in its legal ruling. But it has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. So that par helam dover shel tzibor, that's a public sacrifice, not the kohen gadol par. Question: v'asher yom kippurim katani. But in the source, and we had dashed underlined that, it said of Yom Kippur. It's not the par helam dover shel tzibor. The source says no, it is ki katani adesor. When the phrase shel yom kippurim appeared in the source where we had dashed underlined it, that was connected only to the soyer, to the goat offering. There's a goat Yom Kippur offering, but it's not referring to the par. The par is a separate sacrifice. And that having been said, so the par held over Shitzibor, that's the public sacrifice, but the par of the Kohen Gadol, that is a private type sacrifice. And that being the case, and here again, use your house markings to navigate. That being the case, we're reinstating the original problem, namely that there is no room for even asking the question featured on Daf Mem Tes Omid Beis. The Gemara responds, V'ha Tanya. Here we have a Tanaic source, which is going to be even clearer than the one we just had. And notice the markings, even before you read the source. Notice, we squiggle on par. We want to draw your attention to that. So we use the squiggle underline. And we dashed underline, Shel Yom HaKippurim. And at the end of the source, Chatas Tzibor. So that in the spirit of this source is to classify the par of Yom Kippur as a publicly owned sacrifice. And as such, there is room for asking the question back on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis about the Kohen Gadol that slaughtered, prepared his cow offering, and died before the blood was sprinkled. So let's see the source. V'ha Tanya, coming on the heels of just of saying that the par was a par helmed of a shtibur, par of Yom Kippur of the Kohen Gadol would really be a private sacrifice, but what do you do with this? V'ha Tanya, par shel Yom HaKippurim, v'soyer shel Yom HaKippurim, she'avdu, these sacrifices got lost, v'fish acherim tachteim, and replacement ones were brought, kulam, yomusu, all of the ones that were not used are set off to die, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, Yiru, Ad Shistoavu, V'yimochru, V'yiplu Demeim L'Nedava. They're set out to graze. Those animals that you did not use because you had bought replacement ones, so the original ones are set out to graze until they develop a blemish, at which point they can be redeemed and sold, V'yimochru, V'yiplu Demeim L'Nedava. And why is this the way we treat them? She'ein chatas tzibur mesu, because the rule of setting the animal aside to die doesn't apply when you're dealing with a public sacrifice. So, at this point then, the par kohen gadol is classified as a chatas tzibur. And as such, I know we're sounding very repetitious, but it's so easy to lose the flow of the Gemara. So, as such, there is still room for asking the question back on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara now takes a certain interesting turnabout and says, Lo Tema, don't say, in other words, in the source we just read, it said, She'en Chatas Tzibor Mesa. Well, don't say, She'en Chatas Tzibor Mesa. Don't say that. Elo'emo She'en Chatas Hashutfin Mesa. For the sake of accuracy, when you're talking about the par of Yom Kippur, describe it as a chatas hashutfin, a partnership-owned sacrifice. And as such, so it's not set off to die as a private sacrifice would be, and therefore it can be set out to graze till it develops a blemish and then sold, which would not be the case with a purely private sacrifice. The cow offering of the Kohen Gadol is a chatas hashutfin. The Gemara asks, Umay nafgamina, what difference does it make whether you classify it as a chatas tzibur or a chatas shutfin? The final analysis, you're agreeing that it's not going to be set aside to die as an invalid sacrifice. What difference does it make how you classify it, whether it's a chatas hashutfin or a chatas tzibur? The Gemara says there is a practical difference. Delo Maisu Kohanim Par Bahoira. Kohanim will not bring a cow offering in the event that the Bezdin, the court of Kohanim, make a mistake in their ruling. There, Rashi gets into the much more background than we're explaining right now, but there is a whole Masechta called Maseches Horius, which deals with courts that issue erroneous legal rulings, and people sin based on their erroneous legal rulings. Special court sacrifices are brought that we've made an allusion to already, the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor. But by saying that the Kohanim are not considered a Tzibor, but rather considered Shutfin, so in the event that there's an erroneous Kohen court type ruling, there is no bringing of this general kind of sacrifice, of Par Helam Dover, as it's called. That's the practical difference between classifying the Kohanim as a Tzibor or as Shutfin. Now, there's a very interesting Rashi that appears here, which shows you the structural element of this long sugya as well. Take a look at the Rashi, the Lo Maisi Kohanim Par Bahoira. It's the last Dibur Maskel here. Klomar, Beba'ayon, regarding our original issue, Vadai Modino Demetartzi. I concede that the original question was in the first house marking on the upper part of this page, where the Gemara was asking, hey, you know, the thing that you were talking about back on Daf Mem Tesomid Beis, there's no question to begin with. We're saying, yes, there is the basis for asking the question. So that's what is meant by Ba'ayon, our original issue of a tapuklei, Vadai Modino, I will certainly concede that it is answered. Bein Ikri Chatas, Tzibur Rashi goes on, Bein Ikri Chatas Ashutfin, whether you call the par of the Kohen Gadol a public sacrifice or you call it a partnership type sacrifice, either way, that gives license for the Gemara back on Daf Mem Tesamad Beis to ask the question that was featured in the triangle, Ibayalo Shocharu Meis Maushi Konis Acher Bedomo. Avol, Rashi goes on, Lo Nicho Le L'Rova L'Kroison Tzibor. Rava, who is responding in this discussion, he doesn't like the fact that you're calling the power of the Kohen Gadol Achata Tzibor. Kadeshalo Yomru Hataminim, so that students later shouldn't say Shim Horu Bez and Shokanim Lavra Achas Min Amitzvus Vyosukanim Alpiem Shim Mevim Par Helam Dover Kechod Mikol Ashvotim, so that people shouldn't confuse the community of Kohanim with a tribe. In the event that a tribe has their court issues an erroneous ruling and they follow it, so then a par helam is brought. And Rashi goes on, we're not going to read it inside, but Rashi goes on to explain that point. That's in contrast to Kohanim, where if their Kohen court issues an erroneous ruling, a par helam dover will not be brought. The Gemara continues, but now it's continuing within this framework of the point we just made, that the Kohanim should not be classified as a Tzibor. So the Gemara wants to check that out further. Toshma, the boy Rav Elazar, we're to continue at the top of Omid Beis. Rav Elazar raises a question. He said, L'divrei ha'omer par yom ha'kippurim korban yochid, according to the opinion that says that the Kohen Gadol par is a private sacrifice, oise tmuro eina oise tmura, is it capable of being replicated or not? We'll come back to the dinim of tmura in a little while, but we want to focus right now on the phrase, or the way Rabbi Elazar is raising his question. He's saying, according to the opinion that says the par yom kippurim, is a korban yochid. So does that not leave room? Lav michlal deiko leman domar detzibor. Is there not room to infer that there is someone that would say that it is a public sacrifice? And we wrote in between the lines, and not simply a partnership sacrifice. In other words, the contrast to the term korban yochid would be korban tzibor. So by the way Rebbe Lozer is raising his question, it leaves room to say that there is someone else that would classify the Par Yom Kippurim as a Korban Tzibor. Tumor says, lo, that's not how to understand this. Rather, Michlal, De'ika, Leman De'omar, De'shutfin. There is someone that will say that the Par Yom Kippurim is a partnership-owned sacrifice. And at this point then, the sugya comes to an end. That particular discussion comes to an end. We have a little star on the side to help tie things together. And we've written on the side, Achshav shekovanu de par kohen gadol de meis bailov. Dehainu kohen gadol eino azul misa. We've established that the par of a kohen gadol, in the event that the kohen gadol died, that is not Azlul Misa, means it's not rendered unfit in the Kohen Gadol's death. Efshur Lachsur Ladaf Memtesom Ed Beis Bensa. You can go back now to the triangle in the middle of Memtesom Ed Beis, La Gemara, Shebesograyim. Now, with that having been established, we can go back to the Gemara there on Memtesom Ed Beis, and Kidei Lodunim Im Domoy Shel HaPar Nikra Par is the blood of the deceased Kohen Gadol's cow offering, is that called an actual? Is that called a par? Kadesh Kohen Gadol Hasheni Yuchali Koneisim LeKadesh Kadoshim. So to enable the Kohen Gadol, the replacement Kohen Gadol, to go into the Holy of Holies, LeKayim Aposuk, to fulfill the posuk that said Bezois Yavo Aaron BePar Ben Bokor. He enters with the par, and par is associated with blood. It was very important to establish that the case of the par kohen gadol is not a case of a chatas yochid, a private sin offering, and that we accomplished. So it's not a private sin offering, giving room for the possibility of the deceased kohen gadol's cow offering blood to continue to be used. It's true that what we just tried to summarize might sound a bit confusing, and that's very reasonable. So there is absolutely no replacement for going over the Gemara, starting again from Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis, and following all of our markings and the use of the brackets and the explanations. And our sincere hope in Gemara markings is that things will be very, very clear. Before continuing in the Gemara, in the new sugya, we glance at the side on the under the Nosei heading, Par Yom Kippur Shel Kohen Gadol, the cow offering of the Kohen Gadol. And now we're going to get back to the issue number one, Oseh Temura O Eino Oseh Temura. Ha'ora, we want to point something out. She'ela zu tolui al she'ela nosefes. The question of, is it capable of Oseh Temura, being the basis of a korban replication, that issue is dependent on another question. But just a word for first-time listeners or new participants to Gemara markings and learning of the Shas, what is a Temura? Temura is a situation where you have an animal that was sanctified as a korban, and it's standing next to you, and alongside it is a mundane, a chulin, common animal. And you attempt to replicate, and replicate is as opposed to transfer, but rather, as the word implies, replicate. You have your basic sacrifice, and you want to have the identity, the identity of holiness that is associated with your sacrifice replicated on this chulin animal standing next to it. that is called Torah. And by the way, it is forbidden to do that. The Torah does not allow that. If you want to sanctify something, so sanctify it directly, not through replication from a pre-existing sacrifice. However, if one does do it, it takes effect. That's in general. A tumura will take effect. However, tumura cannot be activated under all circumstances of having a sacrifice in front of you. And that's what we're going to get into over here. We're dealing right now with the Par Kohen Gadol. The parsha in the Torah that deals with tumura, the section of the Torah that deals with this phenomenon of tumura, is a section, grammatically speaking, that is stated in a yochid, in a singular form of grammar, as opposed to a public, multiple owners. If you're dealing with a korban that's singularly owned, private sacrifice, then tumura can take effect. If it's a publicly owned sacrifice, because the parsha in the Torah, the section of the Torah dealing with tumura, speaks on the yochid level as opposed to the rabbim level, rabbim meaning the public level. Since it's in a yochid, private grammatical form, therefore we are given to understand that a korba, that tumura works only in a private context. So now, we started the issue of a Kohen Gadol cow offering, Yom Kippur cow offering, and we happen to know, by the way, that atones for not only the Kohen Gadol himself, but his family and the rest of the Kohanim. And with that in mind, the question is still going to be raised, does the Par Kohen Gadol lend itself to tumura? So the second point that has to be analyzed here is, and we have this on the side of our Gemara, Kaporas Shara Kohanim, Al Yedei Porosho Kohen Gadol, the atonement that the other Kohanim receive through the Kohen Gadol's cow offering. Two possibilities, we call them here Aleph and a little bit later Beis. Bekvi'usa, is it a firm type of firm and established atonement? And if you say that, so then it's no longer considered a private type sacrifice, and there will be no chance of tumura happening. And we have a comment, and you can see if you skip our parentheses, by saying bikavusa, then we would end up saying v'ein oisit tumura. Notice how we skipped a little bit in our note. But just to make things easier, if it's bikavusa, then ein oisit tumura. If you skip to the next, to the bays in our notation on the side, bikufya means it's a type of loose connection, a loose type of atonement. It's not solid, if you will. So if it's that, the kufya miskapri, if you say that, then, and again, skipping the parentheses, then v'oise tumura, then as far as the real owner, the real beneficiary of that sacrifice is the Kohen Gadol alone. Oh, then it would be viewed as private. If it's viewed as private, then it lends itself to tumura. Let's read our note again, reading everything that we've written, starting from the Aleph. Regarding the issue of the atonement of other Kohanim, Bikviusa, V'oz Shar HaKohanim Nechshavim Shutfin Maleim, if you say that the other Kohanim receive atonement in a kviusa, in an established firm fashion, then the rest of the kohanim are considered full partners. V'ein oisa tmura, it's then not going to lend itself to tmura. V'ein korban shutvin oisa tmura, a partnership owned sacrifice. Partnership by definition is something that's not strictly private. It's partnership. So as such, it's not going to lend itself to tmura. Oi bekufya, or do you say that the atonement achieved by the other kohanim is rafui v'tzaf, means it's loose and floating. I mean, it's not a firm, solid form of atonement. Bekufya miskapri, the oz ain sharakanim nechshavim shutafim, and then the other kanim are not considered full partners in it. Vavei korban yachid, and then it would be viewed as a private sacrifice, and meaning privately owned by the kohen gadol. The oisa tamura, and then it would lend itself to tamura. For many of you, these might be first-time concepts, and if that's the case, so we can here at Gemara Markings appreciate the possible difficulty in dealing with this, but have no fear, in the course of time, these rules become second nature, but it's contingent upon Chazora of Gemara and learning many Dapim, continuously learning Gemara with the intent of going through all of the Shas and reviewing it again and again. There's no replacement for that. There's no quick fix or pill that you can take to have these concepts become instantly clear and a part of you. But that having been said, we did try to give a reasonable introduction. We've mentioned the concept of tmura, replication of sanctity, and that even though the Torah says not to do it, if you do it, it will take hold, but that's only if you're dealing with a private sacrifice, and that's a function of the grammar, the grammatical form that the Torah teaches this parsha of tmura in. So it's our job right now, when focusing on the par of the Kohen Gadol with the recognition that the fellow Kohanim achieve some level of atonement through his cow offering on Yom Kippur, how are we in truth to view the cow offering? Is it private or partnership? Gufa, Boi Rebbe Elazar, L'divrei ha'oimer, par Yom HaKippurim korban yachid. According to that Manda Omar. Now we have a little arrow indicating Nun Omer Aleph, and what you would do is you would skim down Nun Omer Aleph to find a parallel arrow indicating Nun Omer Beis, and you'll see that upper third of the page where Rabbi Meir makes reference to the Par Kohen Gadol, Par Yom HaKippurim, as a Korban Yochid. That you can see simply by referring back to Omer Aleph. So when Rabbi Elazar says, according to the Manda Omar, that the Par Yom HaKippurim is a Korban Yochid, we know we are referring to Rabbi Meir. Oise tmura, einoi oise tmura. Is it capable of being part of tmura or not? Now, truth be told, if you treat the Par Yom HaKippurim as a Korban Yochid, so you would, first reaction would be, oh, it's a Korban Yochid, so of course it lends itself to tmura. So, as we said in our introduction, there is more to this than meets the eye. So that even though it's called by Rebbe Meir a Korban Yochid, you notice the bracketed section? Skip the brackets for a moment, and by using your bracket length indicator, you'll see how the question is posed in its two parts. Do you say, Echov HaKohanim B'Kvi'usa Miskapri? Oy Dilma, or possibly B'Kufya Miskapri? Do you say that their atonement is B'Kvi'usa, a firm type atonement, and then the par would be a par of shutfin, it would be a cow sin offering that's really partnership based, and then it would not lend itself to tamura? Or do you say bekufya miskapri, and then the kufya, as we saw before, is a type of loose connection, floating, non-firm association on the part of the other Kehanim with the Par Kohen Gadol, and then it's not considered theirs, and it would be a private type sacrifice, and as far as Tamura is concerned, it would be something lending itself to Tamura. Now, we did skip a number of lines of Gemara. So we have a note on the side. You notice where we have a double star So the note says, Besocha Sograyim, HaGemora Miskashe Lohavin Ma Sveiko Shel Rebbe Elazar. Within the brackets, the Gemara is having difficulty in understanding what is bothering Rebbe Elazar. Kriyas HaGemara B'dilug HaKeta Shebesograyim Nosenes HaSheila Kfi She'iskavein Rebbe Elazar Lishol. By skipping the bracketed section, we then see, and we did this already, we then see what Rebbe Elazar's real question was. And we did that. So now, we go back to the bracketed section, and here the Gemara, as we said, is trying to understand what is bothering Rebbe Elazar, what motivates him to even ask this question. So we go back to the beginning of the brackets. My kome bayale, what is bothering him, Rebbe Elazar? E boser makdish azlinon, e boser miskaper azlinon. In order to determine the status of the sacrifice, do you look at he who sanctified it, or he who benefits, miskaper means benefits or receives atonement through it? That's not a question. Pshita the boser miskaper azlinon. It's clear that with regard to the rules of Tmura, the identity of the sacrifice is based on who is the beneficiary of it. The Amar Rabbi Vo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan has three rules, and these three rules have in common the theme of a sacrifice that or an item, not just a sacrifice, you'll see tithing that's done on behalf of someone else. So that the theme of these three points of halacha, and we're interested only in the second one, and that's which we dashed underline, we're interested only in, as I said, the second one. But the theme here is you have an original owner, so to speak, and you have a beneficiary who is other than the original owner. So we're not going to spend time on all three of the points. We want to focus on the laws of Tmura so as not to get sidetracked. So Rabbi Avo, Omer Rabbi Yochanan says, Hamakdish Moisiv Choymesh. When it comes to redeeming something that was sanctified, the one who originally redeemed will have to add a fifth in redemption as opposed to an outsider doing the redemption. This is what we have to focus on. The one who receives atonement is the one who can make the tmura. So that if Reuven sets aside a sacrifice on behalf of Shimon, Shimon is the one who's going to benefit from the sacrifice. He is the one that whose tmura will be effective. I don't want to say who can make tmura because it gives the impression that you're allowed to do it. No, you're not allowed to do it, but he is the one that if he does it, it'll be effective, as opposed to Reuven, who was who's the one that owned the animal. But he set it aside. He sanctified it on behalf of his friend Shimon. So Shimon is the one that would make the effective tmura. If Reuven is tithing produce on behalf of Shimon, so Reuven is the one who benefits from what's called the Toivas Hano'ah. We're not going to get into that right now. So, as far as Rebbe Elazar's question, what was Rebbe Elazar's question? He says, according to the Madomar that the Par Kohen Gadol is a Korban Yochid, does it make Tmur or not? So, what's the question? We know that the Miskaper, he who receives atonement through it, the beneficiary is the one that can make the kapara, can make the tmura, that is. So the Gemara says, Li'olam pshitale debosar miskapara azlinon. That's clear, of course, that Rebbe Elazar knows that rule, that the beneficiary is the one that makes the tmura. By the way, Rashi pointed out, we should have said this earlier, that within these brackets, by the Gemara stating as a matter of fact that the miskaper oise ba tmura, in this case the miskaper is a public, it's a group of kohanim, so it would be then simple that there is no tmura to speak about. So the Gemara tells us that yes, that is clear to Rebbe Elazar, that the miskaper is the determining factor in the issue of tmura. However, v'hochi ka mebayale, but here the issue is, granted, the Kohanim are the Miskaper. Nevertheless, Echov HaKohanim B'Kvi'uso Miskapri, their atonement isn't firm and established, making them real partners, and then there's no Tumura to talk about. Oy Dilma B'Kufyo Miskapri, or their atonement is one of a loose type nature, and therefore it's not considered their korban, but rather it's a private Kohen Gadol, private korban, and therefore tmura can be made or will be effective if it's made. So what's of primary interest to us right now is the quality of the atonement that the Kohanim, the fellow Kohanim, are going to receive through the Par Kohen Gadol. Ta Shema. You'll notice we have markings. First of all, we have a long marking, a long Ta Shema. And on the side under the Mivneh heading, the triangles with the point facing up will indicate Oset Tmura. In other words, that's the attempt to show here. The inverted triangle, Eino Oset Tmura, would be a rejection. And as you follow through the Sukkah, you'll see these triangles appearing in two different directions. So we continue in the Gemara. Ta Shema. Chomer bezevach mi betmura, v'chomer betmura mi bezevach. There are stringencies that apply to an original sacrifice known here as a zevach. More so, stringencies over applying to a zevach over a replication sacrifice, and v'chomer betmura mi bezevach. And there are stringencies that are characteristic of a tmura, the replicate type sacrifice, as opposed to the original sanctified animal. We're going to go through this source. It has a lot of rules in it. After the source, we're going to try to figure out what is the zevach being referred to in this source. Whatever it is, it has to conform to all the rules stated here. And the Gemara will go through a few stages in trying to figure that out. Eventually, at the end of this long toshma, we think we're going to be talking about a par of the Kohen Gadol. So, it says in this source, Chomer bezevach, shazevach noig biyochid ubetzibur, an original sanctification applies to private people, people sanctify sacrifices, and the public has sacrifices, v'doichas ashavs ha'tumah, it will be brought. An original zevach can be brought on Shabbos. It can be brought even in a state of tuma, and we have to figure out what zevach. That's not true for every single zevach. A private person is makdish a korban shlomim. It's not brought on Shabbos. It's not brought in a case of tumas. So we have to find out what kind of zevach are we talking about right now. What else? V'yosit tmura, and an original zevach can be replicated. We say can, again, I know we're sounding very repetitious, but when we say can, it doesn't mean you're allowed to do it. It means if it's done, it takes hold. So it's oyset tmura, masha'ein kain betmura. The points we just made do not apply to the replicate sacrifice. And in the case, in the last point regarding replicating, once you have something that's a replicate sacrifice, it's a tmura, you can't replicate that onto another, onto a third animal. Chomer b'tmura mi'bezevach. There are aspects of tmura that you'll find tmura that you will not find by an original sanctity animal. Shatmura chola al ba'almum kavua. If you are replicating the sanctity of an original sacrifice onto an animal that is blemished, that will take hold. And the Baal Mum Kavur, this blemished animal, now gains what's called Kedushas Haguf. And that has ramifications for within the realm of redemption. So that what that would mean in terms of redemption is that they're very limited. The redemption possibilities are more limited than in the case of an original sacrifice that becomes blemished. So the Tamura is chal on a bal mum kavua, on an established, permanent, blemished animal. V'eino yotze l'chulin ligozeis v'le'aved, and if you attempt to redeem it, so it doesn't become full-fledged chulin, mundane anymore, which would have meant you could shear it and work with it. Masheik ein kein bezevach, which is not the case in an original sanctity. In other words, if you approach an animal that has a mum kavu, has an established blemish on it, and you try to sanctify it as a korban, first of all, you're not allowed to do that. But if you try to do that, it gains a low level of sanctity. And in such a case, it becomes what we call kedushas domim, value sanctity, and when you redeem it, it becomes full fledged chulin. It becomes regular mundane animal that you could work with it and shear it, etc. So you see that tamura has this stringency associated with it that puts it above an original sanctity type korban. Hi, zevach hefi domi. The zevach featured in this source. Well, what zevach do you have in mind? Ilema di yochid. If you have in mind a standard, privately owned sacrifice, mitochi Shabbos v'tuma, would it supersede Shabbos and tuma? And in this source, it says that a zevach supersedes Shabbos and tuma, but a privately owned sacrifice wouldn't do that. Ela de tzibor. Well, maybe zevach in this source is a reference to a publicly owned sacrifice. Yeah, but mioisa tmura. In this source, it said that the zevach makes tmura, but a publicly owned sacrifice, as we explained at length earlier, does not lend itself to tmura. El olav, so we must conclude the par, that the zevach referred to in this source is the par kohen gadol. V'doiche es ha-shabbos v'satuma, and what does it then say in this source about the par? It says it will supersede Shabbos, it supersedes Tuma, the Kaviyah Leizman, because it is fixed. It has a fixed time. It's brought on the 10th of Tishrei, Yom Kippur. The Oise Tmura, the Korban Yochidhu. And this is dashed in, because really this is all we really needed to see. The source, if you assume that it's describing the Par, and we dashed on the line Par, it says it's Oise Tmura. How is it able to activate Tmura? Because the korban yochidhu, it's a privately owned sacrifice. Now that would, as far as the superstructure of this Gemara, remember Rabbi Elazar asked the question, the Par Yom Kippur, does it make tmura or not? In order to conclude that it's oisa tmura, you'd have to say that the fellow kohanim atonement is bekufya miskapri. And that takes you back to the line where the previous triangle appeared, the beginning of the Toshma. Right before that, it said the Kufi Miskapri, that the other Kehanim association with the par of the Kohen Gadol is a loose, superficial type association. And as a result of that, its real owner, is the real soul owner, is the Kohen Gadol, and that's why it can make Tmura. Because it's private. Notice the inverted triangle. We now reject this. Omar Rav Sheshes Loi, the source that spoke about a zevach, and amongst other things, the zevach is oisa tmura, is be'elo shel Aaron. There's another sacrifice that Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, brings on Yom Kippur. It's a ram offering, elo shel Aaron. It's a korban oila, and that is the featured zevach in the source. And as far as coming to conclusions about the par, so that we can't conclude right now. Hachi nami mistabra. And it's also likely that this is the explanation. The isalka daitach deporoi, if you were to think that it's a reference to the par, the cow offering of the Kohen Gadol, Tmura de par, Shabbos v'tumah hu de lo dachya a b'chol makiv korva. If it were talking about the par, now the par happens to be a sin offering, a chatas. It's not an ola. It's a sin, a chatas offering. The source said that the tmura, as opposed to a zevach, the tmura is not brought on Shabbos, nor is it brought betuma, leaving you to infer that during the weekday it would be brought. And that's why we squiggle on the word ha. This is the inference point, that during the weekday it would be brought. But that isn't true if it were talking about the par. Ha tmuras chatos hi. The par is a chatos, and you would then be dealing with a tmura of a chatos. And we know that tmuras chatos lemisa azla. We mentioned before special rules of sin offerings where the animal is set aside to die, it's rendered invalid. We spoke before about a chatos shemesu balel, where the owner dies. Another one of those examples of a chatos that is set off to die, there's a Rabbi Shimon's rule is chamesh chatos samesos, five types of chatos situations that are alocha l'moshe misinai, that are set off to die and are rendered invalid. This is one of them, tmuras chatos. And yet we had a source that implied that the tmura of whatever zevach was spoken about, the tmura would be brought, albeit not on Shabbos, but during the weekday. So what kind of sacrifice are we talking about? Not the par, but rather Elo shel Aaron. But the Gemara is not giving up. Loi li'olam poro. And if you keep track of the double underlines, these will show you where we are holding at each given point in the Gemara. What is the zevach? So we say li'olam poro. We are talking about the par. But if we're talking about the par, but the tmura would not be brought during the weekday. Umay tmura, the term tmura in the source, shame tmura. It's the concept of tmura. The concept of tmura as opposed to the tmura of that specific animal. So that in the source, when it speaks about a zevach, the zevach that's spoken about is the par of the Kohen Gadol. And when this and what do we know about the par of the Kohen Gadol? It's something that supersedes Shabbos, it supersedes Tumah, and it's Oysa Tmura. And what does it mean that it's Oysa Tmura? So it means that it can be replicated, and if it's replicated, that's an indication that it's a Korban Yochid, and that the other Kohanim get their kapora be kufya. Now, as far as the hemshich of the source that said that the tmura is something that's not doicha Shabbos but would be brought during the weekday, the implication there, that is not a reference to the tmura of that par. It's a reference to the concept of tmura, that tmura sacrifices when you're not dealing with a tmuras chatos, when you're doing a tmur of another kind of sacrifice, it wouldn't be brought on Shabbos, but it would be offered during the weekday. The Gemara says, well, ihachi, if you're taking the reference to tmura as being a general reference, zevach nami, shame zevach. The reference to zevach, who says that the source is talking about a specific Korban, as you were trying to say that it's talking about the par of the Kohen Gadol. I'll tell you that it's reference to the concept of Zevach, original sanctity animals. And if you read the source like that, then I can't come to conclusions about the par. Maybe it's talking about the Elo Shel Aaron. And the source would then read, and Rashi does this for you, three lines from the bottom. Let's tune into Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Hochi komar tana, chomer bedover shishmo zevach midover shishmo tmura. There are stringencies to apply to things that are classified as an original zevach, as opposed to things that are classified as tmura. Sheyesh zevach noheg betzibur kibiyochid, v'yesh zevach shedoich shabbos. You could read the entire source using the term zevach in its general fashion and not as a reference to something specific, i.e. the par. The Gemara responds, and you'll notice we have a long marking here, a long answer. This takes you three lines from the top of Nun Aleph, Omed Aleph. The Gemara says, Shem Zevach Lo Kotoni. I will tell you that this source is clearly not referring to Zevach in the general form, but it has to be referring to a specific sacrifice. And as we said, the specific sacrifice would be the par of the Kohen Gadol. And how do I know this? Mimai, how do you know it? Vidiktani, from the fact that it says in the source, and here we have a quote, we have a star to the left-hand side, you can see where this quote is coming from. It said in that source, Choymer b'tmura. There is a stringency that applies to tmura that you won't find by Zevach. Shatmura chola al balmum kavua, v'eina yoytzer lechulin, ligozeiz v'le'aved. By tmura, we say a tmura takes hold on permanent blemished animals, and when you redeem it, it will not be redeemed for shearing nor for working with it, like in the plowing context. If you are going to say that the word zevach is of a generic umbrella nature and not a reference to a specific zevach, I will show you how this source will then not make any sense. V'ha'ika b'chor. We're at the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. There is the case of the b'chor u'maiser. These are two kinds of sacrifices. Original sanctity sacrifice. B'chor is a firstborn male animal. A maiser is the tenth of it's a tithed animal. It's one tenth of any given year's new animal births. So you tithe one of them. One out of you count nine, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then when you get to number 10 of that year's animal's birth, the new calves, the new lambs, the tenth one is set aside and brought as a sacrifice. Now, what do we know about the Bechor and Meiser? The Cholin al Balmum Kavua. Well, that's just like the Tmura. So you wouldn't be able to say in the source that there's a stringency that Tmura has over Zevach. If Zevach is a generic term, well, there are examples of Zevach that are just like that, that are Chal on a Balmum Kavua, the Ein Yoitzin Lechulin Ligozeis V'Le'aved, and they are never redeemed for shearing nor for working with them, just like Tmura. So the Tana could not have said Chomer b'Tmura, Ela Shem Zevach Loi Kotoni. The source is not talking about Zevach in a generic form, but rather about a specific Zevach, a specific sacrifice. And as we said before, that could very well be a direct reference to the par. And as far as the question that was raised, well, what about the tmura being that the par is a chatas? No, the issue of tmura was shame tmura, general tmura rules. Umay, the Gemara asks, umay shno tmura? Well, what is different about tmura that the Rashi here is short but to the point. Rashi across from here says, "My shno delinkut tano milse betray gavni." This is kind of unusual for a tana, for a Tanaic source to contrast two points, but the two points are on different levels or in different forms. Namely, the zevach is a specific zevach. But when talking about tmura, you talk about tmura as a general term. So why is that? How is the Tana able to do that and stay within acceptable Tanaic license? The Gemara explains, shame tmura achas hi. The rules of tmura are all the same. Rashi across from here says, shame tmura achas hi. Kol ha-tmuros shavos b'chol hanach dekotoni hocha. All tmuros have in common the points mentioned here regarding tmura. And they are, b'tzibor, namely that all tumuras, there's no such thing as a tumor in a carbon sibor. Ubedchias Shabbos, no tumuras ever doiches Shabbos b'sias tumura, and their ability to replicate another, they no tumura can make another tumura. Ubegiza, and when they are redeemed, they're never redeemed for shearing, ubavoda, nor for working. So with regard to tumura, the tumura is essentially is a single entity. I know we're talking about the general realm of tumuras, but all the tumuras have this, have these 5 points in common, so they're all a single entity. So tumura can be pitted off against a specific sacrifice. They're both singular in nature. However, zevach, when it comes to zevach, to claim that the source is talking about the general realm of zvachim, that would not be accurate, because ikah b'chor v'ikah meiser, we have the b'chor meiser which deviate from the rules of other zvachim. Other zvachim, their kedushas haguf is not chal on baal mum kavua, whereas b'chor and meiser are chal on baal mum kavua. We continue in the Gemara. Ula Rav Sheshes. Now, this is a reference back to what we saw on Nun Omid Beis. We have his name double underlined, Rav Sheshes. You'll notice we have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating to go back to Nun Omid Beis, and if you go back there, you'll find an arrow also on the left-hand side indicating Nun Aleph Omid Aleph, the reference to Rav Sheshes. So here the Gemara turns its attention to Rav Sheshes and says, Ula Rav Sheshes, Ademoikin lo be'elo shel Aaron, Rav Sheshes, who tried to set up the source as referring to the Elo Shalom, that was a ram Ola offering brought by the Kohen Gadol, and that being an example of a Korban Yochid, Lukma bePesach. Why not set up the source? Once you, like Rav Sheshes did over there, he was trying to derail the par attempt. And what did he do? So he said, no, it's not talking about par, it's talking about Elo Shel Aaron. Well, why not set it up as talking about a Korban Pesach? The Doiche Esar Shabbos Vesatum of Yosef Tumura, the Korban Yochinu. Look, Pesach has all of those Zevach characteristics. It supersedes Shabbos. It is brought in a state, if no other choice is available, it's brought in a state of impurity, and its Kedusha can be replicated, being that it is a Korban Yachid. So why didn't Rav Sheshes set it up like that? And these diamonds that we're using represent alternatives for Rav Sheshes. Alternative suggestions for Rav Sheshes. So, why didn't he do that? Why didn't he set it up? The source, the Chomer Bezevach, the B'tmura source is talking about the Korban Pesach. The Gemara answers, Kosovar Ein Shochtin HaPesach Al HaYochid. He is of the opinion that a private, single individual cannot bring a Korban Pesach. He must be part of a group. It must be a group effort. Since it must be a group effort, therefore, it is not Oise Tmura. It will not lend itself to sanctity replication that we call Tmura. As we mentioned before, Tmura is associated with that which is Yochid, private in nature. Question. V'nukme b'Pesach Sheni. Why not set up the source, the Chomer B'Zevach source back on Nun Amid Beis, as the Zevach being the Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni is a Korban Pesach brought on the 14th of Iyar for someone who was Tomei and wasn't able to bring it on the 14th of Nisan. He has his makeup date a month later. So why not say that the source is talking about a Pesach Sheni? So to that, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, Midochi Tuma. This is according to Rav Sheshes, and this is actually a discussion in and of itself. There are a variant opinions, but Rav Sheshes takes the opinion that it wouldn't supersede Tuma. After all, the whole purpose of bringing the Korban Pesach Sheni was because he was Tomei, and he couldn't do the Pesach Rishon. If he's now Tomei during the Pesach Sheni, he's not going to bring it. It's an antithesis of the whole purpose of the Pesach Sheni, was to be able to make up a situation where there was Tumah. Now that he's Tomei, he won't bring it. So therefore, it wouldn't fit into the source which spoke about Zevah having the capacity of superseding Tumah. Pesach Sheni, according to Rav Sheshes, wouldn't supersede Tumah. So therefore, Pesach Sheni is not a candidate. And that's why we're left with the Elo Shel Aaron, as we saw. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.